Armed American Radio listeners, today's Armed American Radio's recorded version of the national radio broadcast, the Armed American Radio podcast, is being brought to you today and every day by North American Arms. Make sure to visit NorthAmericanArms.com for the finest mini revolvers on planet Earth. NorthAmericanArms.com. Enjoy the show.
Is Armed American Radio.
If they want to take my guns, they're going to have to bring a station wagon and a whole lot of friends, because I'm not giving them anything.
From the Carr Firearms Group studio
at the Patriot Mobile Communication Center
on the Sig Sauer Platinum microphone.
Mark, we know they want to take our guns, and now we're going to make them eat it.
Proudly presented to you by X Insurance.
X Insurance. X Insurance.
Here is your host of Armed American Radio, the loudest conservative voice in America fighting for your rights, Mark Walters.
Walters.
I'll tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, if that first hour was any indication, the second one's going to fly right by. Good heavens, buckle down. We were on steroids on that. Welcome inside the Carr Firearms Group studios with me, Mark Walters, filling your prescription for freedom today and every day, 6 days a week, in this three-hour broadcast in front of the Sig Sauer Powerful and Platinum microphone. It's all being brought to you by X Insurance. Daniel Defense is presenting the video. Greg will tell you how to watch the video in high definition here in just a couple of seconds. And remember that we're coming to you from the Patriot Mobile Communication Command Center at the ranch. Greg in Dallas, Texas, how you doing? Man, you were on the Zoom switch, bud. Get off that accelerator, brother.
Yeah, absolutely. I was standing on it seems.
Whipped right by. Greg, would you sure be kind did. Enough to tell people where to watch the program as long as they're not driving and participate in the chats, both of them? That would be fun, if you would.
Sure, yeah. Just head on over to armedamericanradio.org or .com. On the right-hand side of that website, you're going to see the menu icon. Just give that a click, and when that window opens up, you can select that Watch Live option. If you're driving, hit that Listen Live link. And if you missed a previous episode, head on over to the podcast link. If you'd like to join our live chat, just head on over to your app store, grab the Telegram messaging app, create your profile, and search for Armed American Radio Conversations.
Before we get cracking, ask me how many Defender coffees I had to start my day today, Greg.
How many cups of Defender coffee did you have today, Mark?
Three, because we had some thunder last night that scared the crap out of my little dog and woke me up at about 5 after 11. I thought the house was going to come down. That lightning bolt was so close. Three cups of Defender coffee to start my day today, because I was up with poor little Huey all night, who was just literally petrified. Our little Shih Tzu. By the way, my house is protected by a Shih Tzu. Shih Tzu is protected by my guns. Let's go over to Amanda Harden from Lipstick Tactical. Amanda, how are you today?
Hey, Mark. I'm doing great. How are you?
Do you have something bigger than a Shih Tzu in your house?
Far bigger. It'll travel a lot further. And we got snow yesterday. We got a whole lot more than thunder.
Ouch. Good heavens. Well, you are in Colorado. Tell us real quick about Lipstick Tactical, and we'll do all that fun stuff, and then we'll get to talking about Colorado, because what a mess you guys are in, and we've got some updates.
Yeah, we really are in a mess, unfortunately, and yes. Lipstick Tactical is trying to combat that mess. It's a company I started in 2011 after appearing on Top Shot, History Channel's reality television show. Women started seeking me out, kind of sizing me up. I'm a petite woman. I like to do my hair and makeup, and they're like, okay, if you can defend yourself, so can I, which, yes, of course you can. So I work with women to unleash their potential and their power to take charge of their own lives and realize they are their own first responders.
But you also train men as well, too, right? It's not just women. I want to point that out, because I did see that, and you and I talked about it before, and I want to make sure that that's clear. Don't feel, men out there in Colorado, that you cannot train with Amanda at Lipstick Tactical. Go with your wives, your spouses, your mothers, your daughters, whatever it may, your grandmothers. Do whatever you need to do. And you know, take that responsibility yourself. It's empowering, no question about it. Amanda, I'm going to start with a piece from CPR that has enough meat in it that we could take the remaining hour and a half, 2 hours of the program together with this. Unfortunately, we've only got two segments. So let's cram as much in. But this piece is about Democratic Senator, State Senator Tom Sullivan in Colorado, who lost a child at the Aurora Theater a number of years ago. And the headline is titled, "He ran for office to pass stricter gun laws. Now Tom Sullivan could decide the fate of an assault weapons ban." Let me go into the meat of this just a little bit, and then we'll start to break this down. State Senator Tom Sullivan emerged as one of Colorado's staunchest advocates for stricter gun laws after his son was murdered at the Aurora Theater shooting. And he could end up being the deciding vote against one of the most sweeping gun policies ever considered by Colorado state lawmakers. That's a pretty powerful statement. Most sweeping gun policies ever considered by state lawmakers. He sits on the Senate's State Veterans and Military Affairs Committee, which is going to determine whether a ban on so-called assault weapons moves forward or fails. If the bill passes out of the committee, it is going to head to the full Senate for a vote where it where its chances of passing are high. Let's start right there. What is going on in Colorado? It's controlled by Democrats. Why are the Democrats in Colorado appear to be having so much difficulty with the holy grail of what all Democrats want everywhere, and that's a quote-unquote assault weapons ban?
Yeah, that, I mean, we saw what the White House put out yesterday on their Instagram. They put out, it says a ban assault weapons was their post right. yesterday. So, yeah, it is trending nationwide with Democrat majority states and nationally. Everyone is up for reelection in the House this year in Colorado, and guns are a very hot topic. They're deeply emotional. They divide down the party lines, unfortunately. Though really, we as gun owners know they do not divide on party lines. I have had many, many, many people that vote Democrat that have come to me for firearms lessons, that buy firearms, own firearms, believe in firearm ownership. But sure. that is a hot topic button, and I think it's getting pushed a lot. Because violence has increased in the state of Colorado. I mean, our violence rate numbers are through the roof. They're alarming. And what do? We always blame the firearm. No one will talk about our broken education systems. No one will talk about our poor access to health care and healthy nutrition and broken families. We know that is the reason most people do violence. It's because they saw abuse in their homes. It is so many things. It is not the gun, but the gun always gets the blame every time.
It's the low-hanging fruit. And let's toss in there, too, recidivism, soft-on-crime policies in Democrat-run yep. cities, et cetera. All of this, it's a mix, ladies and gentlemen. It's just a cornucopia of all kinds of Democrat policy failures. So having said that, yeah. I find it interesting because Sullivan, who, according to CPR here, who in the past has questioned the wisdom of such a policy, told CPR News in a text message Thursday it was accurate to call him the swing vote on the five-member committee, although he didn't elaborate on his current thinking. And in previous years, according to CPR, Sullivan passed a red flag law, as if he did it, and a waiting period for gun purchases. Have either of those? I mean, you just said crime's going through the roof, so are those failed policies as well? It would seem to be the case.
Absolutely, they're failed policies, of course. That's doing nothing to help with mental health or that people can't afford their homes anymore and they're feeling hopeless. We know a hopeless person is the most dangerous person. None of these policies are helping, and that's the best way we can combat this legislation. Before it goes to the Veteran Affairs Committee, that is when you need to contact your legislator. That is where you are most impactful. Yes, signing up to testify is very important because it gets a lot of press coverage. The press eats it up when 500, 600, 700 people sign up to testify against bills. And that really puts all the legislators in the spotlight, and they know they're up for reelection. But the citizens of Colorado can be absolutely most impactful if they will call, email, and write letters to the committee members right now, today, this week, before it does not have a date on the calendar yet. So we don't know when it's going to go to committee. So those legislators need to be hearing from you right now to know, do not vote for that bill.
I think it's a safe bet to say that Sullivan needs to hear from everybody as well. And I say that for a reason, because Sullivan is on record as having said that he wants to focus on the policies that he believes, quoting again from CPR, will be most effective at preventing gun violence. Technology, according to Sullivan, can circumvent, quoting, bans on specific types of weapons. Last session, he was the main sponsor of a new law banning so-called ghost guns. This year, his bills have focused on identifying dangerous gun buyers by focusing more state resources on investigations and creating a new merchant code to track firearm purchases. Now, these have all been tried in other Democrat-run states, i.e. California, and they've all failed because they do not one of these attacks what you mentioned at the outset of this segment, and that's what we know causes crime and what we know causes criminal behavior. It's so deep-rooted that there's no law that's going to fix the problem. Yet he, again, it's like a weird disconnect that this guy is the deciding vote, and he still hasn't said what he's going to do yet. Have you gotten any indication that maybe this isn't reporting here? Do you have any idea what he may do if he's the guy that's going to be the vote? Do we know yet?
The rumor mill is that he won't vote for it, but again, I think it's going to have to do with who he hears from the most. If he hears from the anti-firearms group more than the pro-firearms group, it might sway him. If the pro-firearms individuals are not respectful when they address him, I mean, we do have to keep in mind this man lost his son in a true mass shooting, in the Aurora movie theater shooting. That does need to be addressed, but we also need to talk about how that was an incredibly mentally unstable human being that committed that crime, and banning assault-style weapons is not going to prevent that from happening again.
Ladies and gentlemen, when we come back, we've got one more segment with Amanda Harden. She, of course, runs Lipstick Tactical in Denver, Colorado. It's great to have her with us. We've got another segment with her. We're going to cram in as much as we can get in with her in the next 4 minutes after this break, and another 8-9 minutes with her. Armed American Radio's Monster Cast continues. This segment of Armed American Radio is being brought to you by Mike Lindell and MyPillow. Don't forget to use the promo code AAR at MyPillow.com. Welcome back. Yeah, that promo code AAR at MyPillow.com gets you tons of bargains over there. All the bargains you see Mike talking about on television, whatever you're watching, whatever commercial you see, you get them all using the AAR promo code. The difference is you support the right to bear arms. You say thank you to Mike Lindell for supporting now 10 years. Remember, next weekend, we will be celebrating our 15th anniversary on the nation's airwaves. That's a remarkable feat. We've never run a repeat broadcast on this Sunday show. That's a record somewhere, and we're proud of that. And Mike Lindell has been with us for 10 solid years on this program. He's actually co-hosted the show with me. Thank him for putting up with all the crap he's had to put up with over the years simply for exercising his First Amendment right to free speech. And it's real simple to do. MyPillow.com/Armed American Radio and use the promo code AAR. Also, make sure to check out AmmoSquared.com. AmmoSquared.com. Spell it out. AmmoSquared.com. I've got my ammo stacking up. I'm on the 223 plan over there and 556. And I already got my notification that my ammo's already begun stacking up. Make sure to check it out. AmmoSquared.com. It's the real deal. We'll talk more about that later in the broadcast. Let's go back over to Amanda Harden, Lipstick Tactical. Amanda, let's continue this conversation here, because this piece from CPR was really interesting and it was really telling. Because, it again, I go back to this weird disconnect. It seems like, you know, it's we're talking about HB 24-1292, right? That's the assault weapons ban bill. Did I get that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It would seem to me that this being the holy grail for all Democrats around the country, that this guy just doesn't seem like the guy that would be the one stopping it. Is there a sense of, what's the word I'm looking for? Is he being honest in his assessment? Is he believable? Does he think, because he says in this piece during the interview, he wants to put the building blocks in place, like by adding more gun control laws on, before he feels the state would be successful in enforcing an assault weapons ban in Colorado. Does that make any sense?
Sure. This assault weapons ban bill is not new this year. We saw it last year, and it has come up before in Colorado. And as I mentioned when we talked a week or so ago, I think that there's just a lot of attention getting put on this bill so all the other gun bills can pass. Some of them have already passed. Every single one of them has moved since you and I spoke last. And they're building on each other. You made an incredible point last segment. The ghost gun ban bill, that was last year. And then that was even 2 years prior in the city of Denver. The local city council passed a ban against that. Then it got passed in the state. Now we're seeing this merchant code bill that you totally pointed out would help with that, buying those pieces that you're not supposed to be buying now in Colorado. And now we've got another bill, Senate Bill 003, that is going to fund CBI so they can investigate those now crimes. All these bills are supporting one another. I think we're going to see this assault weapons ban bill die again this year. All these other bills are going to go through, mm-hmm. and then they're going to be even more emboldened next year to say, okay, let's now go and really take away the assault weapons or assault weapons are.
I think you're dead on. To quote a great line from my cousin Vinny, you are dead on, blank accurate. Here's why I feel that way, listening to what you're saying, and at the same time reading what he said. I mentioned that, you know, he wants to stack bills up. Let me read what he said.
Yeah.
He said, and I'm quoting from CPR again, this is the second year in a row of assault weapons has been introduced in the State House. It's top priority for many Dems who say the policy will save lives, but it also has divided the caucus. Last year's measure failed in its first committee when three Dems joined Republicans to oppose it. At the time, Sullivan told CPR News the policy was premature. We've got a lot of work to do, I think, before we step into that. If you look at those other nine states that have assault weapons bans, they've already passed all that kind of other stuff we're woefully behind on. So I think you're dead on. What they're going to do is let this go. Let's stack up these other bills. And then guess what happens next year? We didn't go far enough. That was a great place to start. It's what they always say. It's a great place to start. But we need to do more. And that's what's likely going to happen. I agree. I think it. Yeah. So next year is going to be even more dangerous. Ladies and gentlemen, you've got to contact Sullivan and everybody on that committee, but it's really important to contact him at this stage because guess what? A lot can happen in a year, right, Amanda? I'm hopeful. I'm being hopeful and optimistic.
Oh, no, you're accurate. If we take action now and stay consistent, we will create change. We've been very reactionary as a gun community this year. Everyone started showing up halfway through the legislative session and going, I don't even understand what happened. Well, your local city councils were passing these bills 2 years ago. You have, unfortunately, got to be involved in politics because if they go unchecked, they will behave in an unchecked manner. So you need to get involved now and you need to stay consistent. There are many groups on Facebook that deal with your state. Find your state's group pertaining to whatever legislative topic is of your interest. For us, we're obviously talking about firearms. There are some phenomenal groups that will help you stay involved. They've got links. You can understand how to send an email if you want to testify, however involved you want to get. Someone is there already spoon feeding it to you. You just got to go eat it and act on it.
Oh, well said. I like that because you're right. You know, complacency, I think.
Yeah,
we've been guilty on our side, right? I hear that. Yeah. So I think you're going to agree with me on this. But we've allowed ourselves really to kind of get to this point because we have been complacent. And you correct me if you think I'm wrong in this assessment. But you know what? I can still buy my guns. It doesn't matter. I can still go down to Bob's gun shop and buy a gun today. So who cares? I can still get my guns. And then guess what happens? Boom. Now you're looking at stacking up and a third year of an assault weapons ban if it doesn't pass this year. And guess what they're taking away from you? The rifles that you have in your safe. And you know what's going to happen after that? Well, we grandfathered them in, but it didn't do any good. We had another shooting, so we're going to have to go after those, too. It just never stops, does it?
It never stops. It really does not stop. But we've only got 17 days left in the 2024 Colorado legislative session. So I may be eating these words in 17 days. I hope I'm not, but I don't think this assault weapons ban bill is going to pass. I feel very confident all these other bills are just going to go through. And one of them really breaks my heart. It's that sensitive space ban bill. It's going to ban carrying firearms on public universities. And that was overturned many, many years ago because a college student who was a legal concealed carry permit holder was not carrying on campus because at the time it was not allowed by the state of Colorado, and she was raped. And she took it all the way to the Colorado Supreme Court mm-hmm. and got it overturned to where if you are a legal concealed carry permit holder, you may carry on a public college campus. And this bill, Senate Bill 131, will overturn that again. It baffles me. It just blows my mind what's happening right now. It's so unfortunate.
It's hard to say. It's really hard because nothing baffles me anymore, but it does. You know, I say that a lot. Guys, this is going to shock you, but it's not, but it is, but it's not. It's going to shock you, but it's really not, but it is, and it doesn't.
Right.
You know, all right, we've only got 30 seconds left. I love when you're on the program. You know we're going to bring you back in 17 days to talk about what happens at the close of the legislative session, right?
I'd love to talk about it, and I'd love to help motivate y'all to stay involved because next year is going to be just as much of a mess.
Well, hopefully you're not eating your words. Real quick, lipsticktactical.com. Did I get that right? We're good?
You did. Yeah, I appreciate it.
Amanda Harden, LipstickTactical.com. Thank you for what you're doing. You're doing God's work there in Colorado. Colorado, you're tuned in. Pay attention. Get a hold of those legislators and get a hold of Sullivan. It is absolutely critical right now. Amanda's got your back, as do others, Ava Flanell and many others. We'll be back right after this, ladies and gentlemen, with Dr. John Lott.
Daniel Defense firearms are guaranteed for life, trusted worldwide, and designed, engineered, and manufactured right here in America. Daniel Defense, freedom, passion, precision.
Daniel Defense is freedom, passion, and precision. Welcome back inside the Carr Firearms Group studios with me, Mark Walters, filling your prescription for freedom today and every day in this hour and all 3 hours of this monster cast in front of the Sig Sauer powerful and platinum microphone. All this is being brought to you by the great X Insurance. Daniel Defense is presenting the video. If you're watching, we thank them for that. And, of course, we're sitting in the Patriot Mobile Communication and Command Center. That was a great interview with Amanda Harden. I'm looking forward to bringing her and Ava back from Colorado after the close of that legislative session in Colorado in about 17 days. Hopefully she was right. Hopefully that assault weapons ban doesn't make it out. Hopefully Sullivan does the right thing. Seems he's going to be the swing vote in Colorado. Colorado listeners, there's a bunch of you. You're tuned in on a number of stations and a lot of you listening on your devices, et cetera. Make those phone calls. Do it this week. Get a hold of his office at Sullivan in particular, who sits on that committee and is apparently that one single swing vote. That's who you want to contact. That's exactly what you need to do. Let's go now to the phones. Dr. John Lott from Crime Prevention Research Center, crimeresearch.org. Dr. Lott, a pleasure to have you here. Thanks for being here, my friend, as always.
Well, thanks for having me on. Just one comment on that. It really only matters if you have people that are in the district that where the legislator lives that are contacting them. So
correct.
Hopefully you have your listeners in Colorado who will spring to action and contact them. But
John,
Go ahead, please. No, it needs to be if it's going to be effective, because otherwise they get these massive phone call campaigns from, you know, people who don't even live in the state sometimes, or live across the state or someplace else and aren't relevant. And they basically just ignore those that are there. I'm sure you've talked to plenty of state legislators and their staff over time. But if there's anybody who lives in his district, those are the people that can have a real impact.
John, have you testified out there in Colorado over these bills? Any idea what you think is going to happen on this? It doesn't appear that the assault weapons ban is going to move, although that's premature. I don't want anybody to get complacent on that. Those calls need to be made, as you just heard from John and from Amanda. But it's not looking good. It looks like the low-hanging fruit, the other stuff, is going to move and come out and probably hit
the governor's desk. Right. Well, I mean, the governor's expressed his concerns, I understand, about the assault weapons ban and whether or not it would pass constitutional muster or not. And so it doesn't seem like he's likely to sign that. And that probably puts, you know, makes it less likely that the legislature will continue through it. He appears much more willing to go and sign other bills there. And so those are the ones that are likely to pass. I wrote an op-ed with a state House member on one of the bills that were there with regard to requiring merchant codes for firearm purchases for credit cards. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they claim that this is useful for stopping crimes and what have you. And I basically explained why this is just registration and licensing, and that it's not going to stop crimes any more than registration and licensing has stopped crimes in any of the other places that have had it. And so, you know, but, you know, that's not going to stop them. The fact that it is really only used eventually for confiscating guns isn't going to stop them from passing it and maybe getting signed by the governor. I tried to get other op-eds written with people there in the state, but unfortunately, a lot of the state legislators are gotten cold feet over a lot of these issues. The Republicans have. So who knows?
Yeah, it's not shocking. And real quick, ladies and gentlemen, what you just heard from John, you know, we just talked about with A.W.R. Hawkins, three bills passing in Maine, that the reason they passed the bills is because of the Lewiston shooting. None of the bills they passed would have stopped the Lewiston shooting. They just right. don't care. John, what it is they, as you know, it's so they can say it's a start and then they can seek more gun control down the road. That's likely what they're looking at. So, John, I want to take you back to April 5th real quick. I don't think you and I had a chance to talk about this last time you were on the air with me, but I do want to touch base with you on this because it's also a great segue to where I want to wrap up with you on the FBI. But you have a study out, the collapse in law enforcement. As arrest rates plummet, people have been less willing to report crime. Let's start there, and then we'll segue over to the FBI, either later part of this segment or into the next one in the next break. What did you find here?
Sure. Well, I mean, a lot of the news reports are out there saying that, look, violent crime is falling, but yet they say for some reason people just don't understand that they're misled or don't realize what's going on. And surveys show that people believe that violent crime has been going up. And so there are two measures of crime. There's the FBI Uniform Crime Reports. Those are counting the number of crimes reported to police. And then there's another measure called the National Crime Victimization Survey, which surveys about 240,000 people each year. That's done by the Bureau of Justice Statistics. And the reason why they do that primarily is to try to get a handle on what crimes aren't being reported to police. And we know most violent crimes aren't reported to police. And what's been happening since 2020 is these two numbers have been widely divergent in ways that we've never seen really before. And there are a few things that are going on. And they imply real problems with the FBI numbers. One is that we know under the new NIBIS system, a lot of police departments around the country in 2021, 37% of police departments weren't reporting their crime data to the FBI. It was still over 31% or so in 2022. Also, there have been accusations that the FBI isn't recording the data the same way the police departments are presenting it to them. They're consistently, if Baltimore says that there's, 260 murders, they report, 20 fewer murders than Baltimore recorded. And there's really hasn't been an explanation for that. But there's a third thing, and this gets to what you're talking about with the collapse in police, and that is, if people don't think that somebody's going to be arrested and convicted, they just don't bother reporting crimes to police as much. And it's collapsed. I mean, by any measure, if you use the FBI data and look at either all cities or large cities over a million in population, prior to 2020, about 44% of violent crimes result in arrest. If you look at cities over a million in population, it's gone from 44% down to 20%.
Wow.
20%. And so
that's incredible.
And just to give you an idea, so if you, and that's 20% of reported crimes. And what's happened is that non-reported crimes have soared during that period of time. And if you look at it, for cities over a million, only 8% of total crimes, reported and unreported crimes, result in arrests for violent crimes. And for property crimes, it's 1%. 1% of property crimes result in arrests for cities over a million in population. And that's arrests. That doesn't tell you who's charged. Obviously, not everybody who's arrested gets charged. Not everybody who gets charged gets prosecuted. Not everybody who gets prosecuted gets convicted. And so we don't have the breakdown for those other numbers, but it's pretty clear for, property crimes, for example, you're talking about something that's way less than 1% of property crimes in these cities, large cities, are being resulting in a conviction.
All right, John, hold that thought, because we're going to take a break. Wow, that points to a couple things I want to cover with you. And we're going to do that when we come back, because I sense a disconnect, or actually a reason for why people are saying certain things versus what's being reported, based on what we just heard from you, Dr. John Locke, crimeresearch.org. Fascinating stuff. We'll be back with John right after this. Don't go away on this one. Following segment of Armed American Radio is being brought to you by Patriot Mobile. Visit patriotmobile.com/AAR and use the AAR promo code to get free activation today. Welcome back. Yeah, welcome back indeed. There's my Patriot Mobile phone right here in my hands. It's on. It's ready to rumble right there. patriotmobile.com/AAR. patriotmobile.com/AAR. Use that promo code AAR and get free activation, just like I did here in the Patriot Mobile Communication and Command Center. I want to get right back to John. Time flies. Dr. Lott, so here's what I was writing. I've got a bunch of notes here I was taking down while I was listening to you. So if I go back to I go back to you stating that the FBI is not reporting accurately, or because of, regardless of why, but it would seem to me, and this is the cynic in me, that in a weaponized ATF, the administration is using lower than normal numbers that are not being reported for whatever reason to tell the American public that crime is dropping, while those of us on the streets who live in cities, who are actually feeling the effects of crime and actually not reporting those crimes for whatever reasons, that's why there's a disconnect from the administration, what we're being told, versus what we're feeling and seeing on the street. Does that make sense? Could that be why?
It could be part of it, but you know, I haven't been able to document that. There have been some news reports. To me, the simplest thing is just, you know, they're counting crimes that are reported to the police.
Right.
And so you don't need anything nefarious there. It's just, it's been well known among economists and criminologists and stuff that when arrest rates go down, when people don't believe that the police are going to be able to solve the crimes that are there and that the people who commit the crimes aren't going to be punished, there's not much reason to go through the, you know, the rigmarole to go and report crimes to the police. And so what the National Crime Victimization Survey has shown is that, look, I'll give you a simple example. Between 2021 and 2022, the FBI reports indicate that the crimes, violent crimes reported to police fell by 2%. The National Crime Victimization Survey shows a 42% increase in total violent crimes reported and non-reported, which is just, I mean, staggering. I don't even know if I believe that, but even if it's off by a factor of two or something like that, it essentially showing that what's happening is that, you know, the surveys that people point to by Gallup and Rasmussen and others, where they ask people, you know, is violent crime increasing or not? You see ratios of 4 or 5 to 1. People are saying, yeah, violent crime is increasing. And what may simply be happening is that people see violent crime. They see that they're victims. They see the people that they know are victims of violent crime. But even though violent crimes have been increasing, people aren't reporting them as much because, and look, it's also related to the fact that people, if we've seen this big increase in gun purchases and concealed carry permits and the passage of constitutional carry, that what's happening is that people are losing confidence in police. And look, anybody who's read my academic work knows that I think the police are the single most important factor for reducing crime. So it's really sad that police aren't being allowed to do their jobs. Or, you know, just going through some numbers tonight, the average response time to 911 calls in New Orleans is 3 hours last year. I mean, it's improved some, I mean, even if you break it down for emergency calls, it's like over a half hour. And, you know, a half hour for an emergency call when you're facing a criminal right there and you've had, you know, some type of violent crime, even assuming that people can go and make the call. It's not like you're going to be in position many times to go and call the police when you're dealing with a violent perpetrator attacking you. But even if you can, I mean, 6 minutes is a long time to wait.
Right.
Let alone wait over a half hour.
So why bother to call? So the question is why bother? Everything you're saying makes perfect sense. And I'm not viewing it through the lens of the economist that you are or through the studies that you've done. I'm looking at this just in a very simple, basic way that this all ties back to the defund the police movement. People have lost faith in the police. They don't report these particular crimes. Crime does go up. It's not being reflected in the numbers because it's not being reported, et cetera. This all makes perfect sense. And when you tie that in, like you just did, with gun purchases that we see averaging over a million, NSSF is reported, I think it's over a million background checks month after month after month. The disconnect is very real, and the administration is using it to gaslight the American public into trying to get us to believe the crime is actually falling when the reality is just the opposite because we see it and feel it. It all makes perfect sense.
Right. Well, it's just not civilians being demoralized by what's happened to police, but also
police.
The police themselves. If the police know that they arrest somebody, but, you know, Soros prosecutors aren't going to prosecute the individual, not going to charge them, going to immediately let them back out on the street, then the police have to ask themselves, what's the point of arresting the person? And so, you know, and so you have a drop in arrests, not only because people aren't reporting the crimes to the police, but also because the police themselves don't see the point of doing it anymore.
Now, John, I don't know how to, I'm going to ask the question, and I don't know what the response will be, but I would assume that that's a different response in rural areas versus urban areas, where you just
mentioned
New Orleans, for example.
Right. Well, look, so if you look at all cities, the arrest rate for violent crime fell from 44% to 35% before and after 2020. And that's itself a huge drop that's occurred. And in cities over a million, it fell from 44% down to 20%, which is over a 50% drop. I mean, it's just unbelievably large drop. I've never seen such large changes in arrest rates ever, let alone over this short a period of time. I mean, when I say 44%, that's the average arrest rate for violent crimes, and they were remarkably stable prior to 2020 for the 5 years from 2015 to 2019. And then, you know, 2020, it begins to fall, and the FBI doesn't have the data out there for 2021, but in 2022, it continued to fall. We won't have the data for 2023 until September of this year. But, you know,
it all coincides with the defund the police movement, as you were talking about. All of those dates seem to make sense. John, I hate to do this. This is a fascinating conversation. But, ladies and gentlemen, I will tell you, Dr. Lott will be here next week on our 15th anniversary show, and we'll have a short amount of time with him, but we'll get in as much as we can. Fascinating stuff. John, again,
crime research. People can find all this on our website at crimeresearch.org.
Crimeresearch.org. It's all there for you, ladies and gentlemen, at crimeresearch.org. I've got it all pulled up right in front of me right now. You can do the same thing. Crimeresearch.org. Support Dr. Lott and his work that makes all of this possible. We are living in upside down, bizarro world times, ladies and gentlemen. Except you're smart enough to know that you're being lied to. It's pretty much that simple. Dr. John Lott, Crime Prevention Research Center, crimeresearch.org. If you can throw $5 to help this research continue, please do so. I donate $50 a month religiously, as does our producer here, Greg, in Dallas. Armed American Radio's Monster Cast continues 6 minutes after a classic roundtable. That was a fascinating conversation. We'll be right back.
You've
just filled your prescription for freedom with Mark Walters, presented by X Insurance.
X Insurance
on the Armed American Radio Network.